A week ago, Ann Bellamy taught in our Sunday morning Swote class about the Psalms. And Swote is 6 weeks of theological education, and we just finished week three this morning, where we're walking through different genres of the Bible and trying to help us as the people of God place ourselves under the Scriptures and help ourselves be good learners of the Word. And so last week's topic was the Psalms. This week's topic was wisdom literature. Next week's topic is... Oh, we're not meeting next week. Thanksgiving weekend after that?
Prophecy.
And so, please, it's not too late to be a part of that, even if you can just join us for one or two sessions. One of my favorite phrases about the Psalms comes from Daryl Johnson, a Regent College professor and now the senior minister at First Baptist Vancouver, who says, "Most of the Scripture speaks to us. The Psalms speak for us." Most of the Scriptures speak to us. The Psalms speak for us. Prayers that train us to come to the living God with real selves, weary, twisted, confused, dirty, angry, empty, and then find in the living God the one who takes it all and then leads us in the way of wholeness. I love those words, weary, twisted, confused, dirty, angry, empty, because I hope they do capture that range of emotions that we feel from day to day, from week to week, being in the world. The Psalms are the prayer book for the people of God. And so with that in mind, what does it mean for us today, even in our time before we come to the table of the Lord, to put ourselves under the Word of God, under a text like Psalm 26? One of the themes that comes out in Psalm 26 is integrity. And so I've titled the sermon, "The Integrity Walk." And so I just want to take three perspectives on the integrity walk. And the first is this, the integrity walk of the psalmist. Let's just for a moment reflect on the integrity walk of the psalmist. I'm curious, as you heard Psalm 26 read today, how is it resonating with you? When you're hearing phrases like, "I trusted in the Lord without wavering," or "I walk in faithfulness to you." "I do not sit with the worthless, nor do I consort with hypocrites. I hate the company of evildoers and will not stand with the wicked." Did you say, "Yeah, that's me. I trust in the Lord without wavering"? Raise your hand if you did. Those strong Christians, I need to hang out with some of them. Or maybe you said, "That's never me. In fact, it sounds a bit pompous and arrogant, if you ask me." If this psalm is speaking for us, what does it mean? However it might feel for you this morning, as you're wrestling with that, the psalmist is a person of integrity. And I believe that as we read this psalm holistically, and as we read it with all the psalms, the prayer book of the people of God, we recognize that it is possible for the psalmist to have this integrity and declare his fidelity and faithfulness to God, because we can move a few psalms forward into Psalm 32 or Psalm 51 and also hear the psalmist lament over his need for forgiveness, or lament, "God, why have you forsaken me?" or "Have mercy on me." So though the psalmist might sound pompous and overly confident, he balances it with phrases, even in Psalm 26, balances it with phrases like, "Prove me, try me, do not sweep me away, redeem me." The psalmist is celebrating and declaring the blessings of being in right relationship with Yahweh. So that's the integrity walk of the psalmist. And I invite you, if you want to, just hold Psalm 26 open so that you can continue reflecting on it as we talk. Secondly, I want to talk about the integrity of the average FBC-er. If you've read or, you know, been a part of the news world, you've heard this sad story of Bishop Lahey. It's a stark reminder of the breakdowns in integrity that continued to dog those who aligned themselves with the church. So how does this psalm of integrity sit with us this morning as a community of faith? Do you feel comfortable with it? Are you uncomfortable? What's the integrity walk like for us as the average FBCers or parts of this community? I'd like to make it clear that I don't believe that our primary mission as First Baptist Edmonton is to outdo other Edmontonians in acts of moral goodness. Now, we can be good, moral, upstanding citizens, but that's not the integrity that I'm wanting to talk about this morning. As we think about the integrity walk of the FBCer, it's not just trying to be do-gooders. That's good, but when we think about being the people of God, I believe it's more than being just do-gooders. I want to pause and just think about what's happening amongst our younger generation here at First. Whether it's youth ministry, Jeremy, and what he's doing with some of the youth and young adults, or what Karen has been doing with the team that's working with her in the children's ministry, what I've been excited about this fall is this idea of, let's just not try to create a younger generation who know the do's and don'ts of what it means to be religious or a Christian. And so Karen, over the past few weeks, has been encouraging our students, our kids, to enter the God story. And she's been talking about the creation story, and she's been telling the story of goodness and creation and beauty, but also the story of fallenness that is in need of reconciliation and redemption. And she was saying, even this morning as I was chatting to her about it, that the story just doesn't end with Adam and Eve getting booted out of the garden. The story that she's trying to create for these kids is that the story is that God's on the move even after this fall, and he's working to reconcile humanity to himself. But then we're also called to be reconcilers. And so she's trying to send out the kids week after week to be reconcilers. It's not the end of the story when Adam and Eve get booted out of the Garden of Eden. You too can be reconcilers. And so even with these round table ministry meetings that she's had, talking about sacred space, this week she's talking about cultivating gratitude. Next month she's talking about having spiritual conversations with our kids. This is good stuff. Because this isn't just giving our kids this set of lists of what they need to do and not do as little kids. And Jeremy's been working with a curriculum called Echo the Story. And with the junior and senior hires, he's trying to help our students enter into this story. This story of grace, this story of redemption, this story of hope, this story of new creation. And trying to help our students then be a people who then, like our kids, are reconcilers. Sharing hope and peace and compassion and grace that comes out of the God story. When I think about the integrity walk of the average FBCer, what's happening with our kids is what I'm hoping is happening amongst every generation here. That what we do comes out of a place of who we are. That what we do comes out of a place of who we are. And we're not just human beings trying to be nice people in Edmonton. No, together we're the people of God. And we have this mission statement, seeking the peace and well-being of the city, but I'm trying to encourage us to say, yes, we'll do that, but we'll do it as a Jesus-shaped community, a people who are shaped by the story of God, shaped by the living presence of Christ, who do more than just be good, moral, upstanding citizens in the city, but we also offer this hope and reconciliation that comes through the living presence of Christ. So the integrity walk of the psalmist, kind of mixed in with the integrity walk of the average FBCer, I think, thirdly, it finds itself just coming together in the integrity walk of Jesus. Henry Nouwen says that the whole message of the gospel is this: become like Jesus. The whole message of the gospel is this: become like Jesus. And as we reflect on the integrity walk, the psalmist fitting in with the integrity walk of the average FBCer, I want us to revisit our Hebrews text that we've heard already this morning. Hebrews 2:10, I'll just pull out a few verses. The writer from Hebrews says, "It was fitting that God, for whom and through whom all things exist, in bringing many children to glory, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For the one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one Father. For this reason, Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters, saying, 'I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you.'" And why I want to link Psalm 26 to Hebrews 2 is that I hope that you can see that when we talk about our walk of integrity as the people of God, it needs to come from a specific place, a specific source, the person of Christ. Not just a nebulous place of inner peace or just this feel-good moment where, well, I just feel so good when I do nice things for people. I'm going to do more nice things. Well, that's good. But as the people of God, we have this Christ life that lives within us that can then be lived out as we seek the peace and well-being of the city. It's interesting in Hebrews 2 that there's also this connection to suffering as we do this integrity walk of the people of God, or as we reflect on the integrity walk of Jesus. It's a journey of joy, but it's also a journey of suffering. And so I do want to pause and just talk about suffering. Romans 5, Paul writes, "We boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. Not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us." So as we reflect on the integrity walk of Jesus, let's remember that it's just not fun and games, happy, clappy times all the time. And even as you've come through a week, you recognize that suffering's part of our lives. And sometimes suffering maybe even helps us make meaning of our lives, or pain in our relationships inside or outside of our faith community, the pain of the city. Someone was saying to me yesterday, reflecting on the homeless people as they look ahead to winter, and the grief and the sorrow that they must feel as it gets colder and colder in the city. The pain of earthquakes in Indonesia, typhoons in the Philippines. How do we, in any way as North Americans, try to understand that pain? Or even as Brian and Bill were saying, how do we partner with our Bolivian brothers and sisters in their famine or in their sufferings or in their sorrows as the global people of God? And so I hope that even as we reflect on the integrity walk of Christ and what we've read in Hebrews 2, that we can be reminded that yes, there's joy, but yes, there's suffering, and it's swirled together. And this life of following Jesus is this life where Jesus reminds us that the first will be last, and that we're continually on a daily basis called to take up our cross, to deny ourselves, to follow him. It's a life where we die to ourselves so that the Christ life might be born and reborn in us. It's this blessed life, but in the Beatitudes we read that it's a life of meekness, poverty of spirit, a life of being a people of mercy. So the integrity walk of the psalmist is lived out by us as the average FBCer through the pioneering and suffering presence of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so as we move to the table this morning, as we transition there, let's remember that this integrity walk that we're on is both an individual journey, like Marcia had shared about this morning, but it's also this corporate journey. It's us together in this together. The psalmist says, "I walk in my integrity," but at the same time, he recognizes that his foot that is standing on level ground is planted in the great congregation. And one commentator that I read this week shaped Psalm 26, 11, and 12 in such a way that it had a more community feel. And so he changed the I to we's. And so then it reads, "But as for us, we walk in our integrity. Redeem us and be gracious to us. Our feet stand on level ground in the great congregation. We will bless the Lord." So let's bless the Lord together, but let's not do it with this haughty and proud about it attitude. Let's recognize that the reason we can bless the Lord this morning is because we believe in Christ who goes before us, who comes behind us, who walks beside us, who is in us through the presence and power of the Spirit. And let's pray that we as a congregation would be able to be a beacon of integrity in our city, doing justly, loving mercy, walking humbly with God, and allowing ourselves to be led and empowered by the living Christ who walks amongst us. As we close with a moment of silent prayer, I just encourage you to reflect on what that might be. Even in today, God, how might we walk as the people of God in integrity today? We've been talking about ideas, the year of living Christianly over the past couple of weeks. Last week, we talked about the postures of living Christianly. We talked about being a people of listening prayer. We talked about being a people who quickly confess our shortcomings and ask each other for forgiveness. Last week, we talked about radical welcome in the name of Jesus. And so I hope some of those themes will continue to play out, even as you think about this walk of integrity that we're called to as the people of God. A moment of silent prayer for you to reflect and listen to God, and then I'll close with a word. Loving God, thank you for silence. For some of us, maybe these are precious moments. Help us to have ears to hear as you call us to a life of humility, gentleness, and patience. Keep your call before us in this hour that we may recognize and celebrate our oneness in Jesus Christ. As we gather around the table, may your Spirit unite us in the bond of peace. Speak to us of the Savior, who bore humanity's shame that we might learn to bear with one another in love. Draw us to a common faith in spite of our differences. Lead us into new depths of trust beyond our knowing and along new pathways of service, outdistancing our fears. We pray this in the name of the living Christ. Amen.